Art is too important not to share. Welcome to the Allie and Callie Artcast.
Hi, I'm Allie.
And I'm Callie, and we're with the Artcast.
Yes, we are.
Hi, Allie. How are you?
I'm good. But you know what I did last night?
What?
I went to see the Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh, yeah.
At Northern Quest Casino. And
I saw that.
Marshall Tucker should retire.
It's time. Is it time?
It is.
Well,
ew, he was...
He's up there, right?
You know, the flute was amazing.
Yeah.
And some of the guitar work was amazing.
Yeah.
But his voice just isn't strong anymore. And
yeah.
It was like he was struggling to sing.
And oh, wow.
The classic songs are the classic songs, you know. That was good. But Jefferson Starship opened for him, and they were awesome.
I love Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Is that with Grace Slick? But she's
it
not.
Was.
But she wasn't in that, I'm
no,
sure.
No, she retired.
A long
I Googled
time ago.
It. She retired 16 years ago.
Yeah,
so
I was
they've got
say.
This new gal who sounds pretty much just like her.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I love them, though. They
but it was
great.
Fun. It was fun to be at the casino.
That's fun.
I took $40 and threw it on the floor.
I wasn't there to help you win.
I know. I won $35, but then I lost.
Then you lost it.
So I was down 40 total.
Well,
anyway.
That's fun.
But it was fun.
Good.
Yeah. It was really fun when all the machines went bing, 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 bing.
It is fun. It is fun when you win, for sure.
I know. I should have stopped there.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, let's see. I'm recovering from my gallstone surgeries.
Right.
But I'm feeling better.
I'm glad.
It's just taken a while. And of course, I had to get a cold on top of it. So,
yeah.
You know, coughing
stress.
And holding your incisions going, oh God, don't get a hernia.
Right.
It's the worst.
I know. And I love it when you stop and you go, oh,
corner.
It's a corner.
Corner. I tried to explain it to my doctor, like, every once in a while I get these like phantom, like, I can't even explain it, like contractions.
Uh-huh.
They put a stent in my bile duct. Anyway, I have a stent in my bile duct, and I think, you know, it's doing its job, and it just every once in a while I get a contraction of, like, there's not enough room. And,
yeah.
And I get a, like, oh, I can't breathe, corner. And I'm just like, oh, and then it passes and I feel fine. So it's just going to take a little while.
A little time.
Yeah. But
you'll
otherwise it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy that it's gone and I won't have those episodes anymore. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So,
well, I'm happy that we are continuing our series this month because it is Women's History Month.
That's right.
Of women in our community, particularly women that are making things happen.
Yes.
And so we're excited to be here at the Chamber again.
With
we
one
haven't
of
been
our
here a while.
Mover
in a while.
And shakers.
Right. Linda Kappas, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Hey. Oh,
thanks for being here.
Yep.
So, Linda, give us a little background. Where are you from originally? Are you from here originally?
I am.
You are.
Yes.
You're a local.
I am a local. Back in January 69, I was born at Kootenai Memorial Hospital, what it was called back in the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was that crazy winter of January 1969.
Mm-hmm. And what's your background? So how did you become in this position?
I know, it's kind of a crazy story. So I graduated high school in 1987. Go Vikes.
Yay, Vikings.
Yeah, super fun at Coeur d'Alene High School. And then I went off to college at University of Washington in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, I was playing in a softball tournament, regional softball tournament. And my mom said, hey, we're in Seattle. Do you want to just go take a look at the campus? And I went into, this was the summer of ninth grade year, I think, and I took a look at the campus, and I just was amazed by the architecture and the beauty and all that stuff, and I was sold.
Yeah.
So, I mean, crazily enough, that was the only school that I applied for.
Yeah.
I just fell in love at first sight. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I went to university there and had a graduated with a degree in business and an emphasis in both marketing and accounting. And after that, I actually got a job at Microsoft. Oh, wow. So I spent 25 years working for Microsoft, had an amazing career where I went all over the world and got to be a part of a really cool tech company that was just making big changes and transformation in the world.
Where are some of the places that you went?
Oh, gosh. There's like 35 countries, probably some of my favorites. I loved Argentina.
Wow.
Loved India. That was kind of crazy. The Philippines.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
went there for that. Went to Thailand, Hong Kong, gosh, several countries in Africa, but that was not through Microsoft. That was more through personal service trips. Yeah.
How exciting, though.
I know. It was, you know, it was an amazing time to be at an amazing organization. So it was a really fun career that I had. Always had this vision of coming back home. My family's really never left. My mom and dad, I mean, my mom did go to Seattle for a short period of time, but she retired here. And she was real involved in the community through education. And my dad was a dentist for his career. So they've, you know, been here. And I have several siblings who have always been here and 13 nieces and nephews. And so the plan was always to come back. It just took me a while to do that.
Well, your mom, you mentioned, was in education. I love the story about your first experience with creativity.
Oh, she was. It was amazing. She was a kindergarten teacher to begin with, and I was probably in grade school, early grade school. And she used to take us to school with her during the summertime when it was time to get your school room back in order. And so we got to participate in her decorating her classroom for the kids. And so one of my most favorite things was she was very creative. You know, I think about my experience in elementary school and, you know, they had the standard bulletin boards with just the little wavy borders that they would put on that. She would never use any of that. And her bulletin board was the entire wall. So it was from ceiling to floor. And what she would do would take the butcher paper and she would actually crumple it or twist it. Like if you imagine a tree that was from ceiling to floor, like the brown, the butcher paper would be twisted like the shape of a vine or a branch of a tree or something. And then the leaves that she would make would be three-dimensional and they would be coming out of the wall. You know, so every summer it was so fun and we couldn't wait to help her pick what theme she was going to set her classroom up. And then, you know, 20 years later, my sister's having children and she's using those same classroom decorations for her kids' birthday parties.
Oh, how fun.
You know what?
That's
think
great.
She was such an example of thinking outside of the box, you know, literally like that bulletin board was a box.
Yeah.
And that was the decoration space that you had for your classroom. And she was not confined by those four lines of that box. Her creativity went completely outside of the lines. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah, I love that.
It was fun.
That's fun. And what a what a nice start for you for just your whole outlook on life being creative and thinking outside of the box.
Well, it was. And the other thing she always encouraged us to do was she didn't like coloring books. So we had some coloring books, but mostly she would give us a piece of paper, you know, so we had to draw the picture instead of color within the lines.
Right.
So
again, I can totally relate to that. My mother would not let us have coloring books. We had, she, if we got a coloring picture, she would make us flip it over and draw our own thing on the back.
I mean, I did love coloring books. That was really fun because then I could focus on the shading and all of those things instead of trying to draw it. But for the most part, it was a really cool life lesson in just thinking outside of the box and letting your own mind shape your creativity.
Right. So you're bringing those creative skills into the chamber, which what it's been 2 years since you
October 2020 was when I started here.
Wow.
And then it was, let's see, I guess the year later in December when I took over the role as the CEO.
Right.
And how's you're it just, going?
Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, gosh, it's been, you guys, it's been so much fun. You know, I always, I mentioned this earlier, I'd always planned on coming back. My challenge was, I couldn't find the kind of job that I wanted,
right?
You know, and when I was younger, it was all about getting global, you know, travel and all this marketing and, you know, experience like that, which I got through my career. But one of the things that I think I focus so much on in my role here is really about education and making sure that we have a strong educational system. Mm-hmm. Because when I look back at my life, I think if when I was done with college, if there was a job, you know, that was here that I would have, that would have given me the opportunity to do all the things that I wanted to, I probably would have come back so much earlier, but it just didn't exist for me here.
Right.
You know, so now all these decades later, I have this awesome opportunity to take my experiences and to pour it into the business community here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, education is such an important focus because we have to have a strong educational system.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm. we have to make sure that our kids are getting educated so that we can attract and retain companies that have maybe higher paying jobs mm-hmm. right. for our kids here in our community. So one of the things that motivates me mm-hmm. is making sure that we have really great job opportunities for our kids because, you know, again, I go back to 13 nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. I want them to come and have a beautiful life here and I want them to be able to pick what type of a career they want.
Right.
I don't want them to have to go somewhere else because the kind of job that mm-hmm. they want doesn't exist here in our community.
Right.
So much is happening in our community right now. We are attracting people of mostly the baby boomer demographic coming. People are retired. They're, you mm-hmm. know, they have money. They're looking at this beautiful place that we call home and they're wanting to come here and live here, but they're not contributing to jobs.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the price of housing is going up, but they're not contributing in the work or business community. So here mm-hmm. you've got young people graduating from high school, graduating from college, wanting maybe to stay here, not having the higher paying jobs, can't afford to live here because the house price is going up. So you're in this really weird game of whack-a-mole where you mm-hmm. have to, yeah. you know, make sure that you're educating the kids. You got to make sure there's great affordable housing. You know,
right.
there's so many different things that are hitting us all at the same time mm-hmm. in this crazy time of growth.
Right.
So it's just kind of a really interesting time to be here. And it's such a fun challenge in this job. I mean, I'm only one person of many who are trying to think about these big issues and figuring out solutions or how do we solve them. But mm-hmm. it's a really fun challenge to have. And I just pinch myself every day that I get to be here in this beautiful community. I mean, the view of the lake, you know, yeah. it's I pass by
well,
it every day.
Well, and you have the best office.
I look out my office and I see it and I just think, why didn't I do this a lot sooner? It's yeah. really fun.
Yeah. yeah well, you were out there getting the background that you needed to come here and be ready to take off. So all of those steps, I think, are important.
The timing was right.
The yeah, timing exactly. was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what challenges do you see? Well, first of all, before we get to that.
Sure.
What is a chamber?
Sure. A Chamber of Commerce is a nonprofit organization and it serves the business community. So the whole purpose of a Chamber of Commerce would be for people who join, you pay a membership fee, and that organization, the whole goal of is it to help you get your business out there, get you promoted, get you well known in the community, and provide services. Mm-hmm. So there are things that the business community really wants and we help focus on, and that is making sure that we have a pro-business climate here in Coeur d'Alene, or actually across our region. Our footprint spans now well beyond the borders of Coeur d'Alene. We have nearly 1,000 members, which is really exciting. It's been the highest
wow.
we've been in almost a decade.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, I think we're up over 250 members in just the couple of years that I've been here. So, uh-huh. But going back to the footprint, so part of what we do is you look at the footprint that you have, and we have businesses all over our region. So even down to Boise or Seattle, we've got some people in Denver and mm-hmm. Missoula. But what we do is we think about what are the collective needs of those businesses. And at Chamber of Commerce, typically like ours, we have businesses of all different shapes and sizes, mm-hmm. for-profit entities, nonprofit entities, large businesses, small businesses, across all industries.
Right.
So you have to look at what are the common things that those businesses care about. And one of the things that we do is we act on behalf of that as a collective voice mm-hmm. to ensure that as maybe laws or, you know, things are happening in the state of Idaho, they understand what the collective needs of the business community look like in North Idaho. So part of it is about advocacy. Mm-hmm. Right. Another part of it I mentioned before is creating a platform for businesses to get promoted and to promote themselves or to get more well-known, extend their reach in the community. So let's say you're somebody who's moving to town and you want to start a business. If you join this organization, you immediately have this kind of safe group of people who are all about supporting one another. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can spend one Tuesday morning a month and you could get access to 200 individuals in the business community to meet and greet. So it's all about building relationships. It's all about getting the word out about what you sell, either your products or services, getting you connected so your business can flourish. So I think that's kind of the second element. There's advocacy. There's about, you know, extending your reach through the community. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece of it is really one of the things that we offer are really great programs and events. And so this helps our businesses either get educated or maybe upskill some of their skills. So one example of that would be, you know, our events that we do. So we have there's, you know, 10 Upbeat Breakfasts, which is our monthly networking breakfast a year. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, every month we have a big event that we focus on. One example would be the governor's address.
Oh, right.
So that happens once a year where Governor mm-hmm. Little comes up and we bring 400 business community members together and he gets to deliver his state of the state address here in North Idaho. So mm-hmm. he has the opportunity to spread his message to the business community and right. same time he has the opportunity to get feedback from the business community. They have a direct access to him through the form of questions and answers. So it's a really great collaboration space. And so we facilitate those events. And again, there's, gosh, probably another at least 12 of them a year, like the Governor Little Address, or recently we just had the economic forecast where we brought Sam Wolkenauer, who's from the Department of Labor, and then also Dr. John Mitchell, who has a history and a long-standing career of being an economist. And mm-hmm. the two of them together provide two different perspectives that look at the global economy all the way down to the local economy and the labor and workforce and what to expect in the next year. And that one's a very popular event, not only just because these guys are really funny, mm-hmm. but they're so knowledgeable and they make a really complex topic much easier to understand.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that would be two examples of the types of events that we provide to our members. So mm-hmm. if you're a member of the chamber, we create these amazing programs for you to come to and to get educated on important topics that are impacting our community.
Right.
Programs. We run different programs, and the two programs that I'd love to share a little bit about. One is our leadership program. So this program has been in effect since, gosh, I think the first class was Sandy Emerson. He built the program along with a few others back in 1985.
Oh, wow.
And so since then, every year, there's been about 26, somewhere between 26 and 30 members of our business community who've gone through this class. Mm-hmm. And they spend basically a full like 10-hour day once a month for the entire year.
Right.
And they gain access and exposure to our community's senior leaders of the largest industries that impact our community. Mm-hmm. They get to learn about what are the top issues impacting healthcare or education or, you know, city planning, all of those really important things. And what's so cool is at the end of the day, at the end of the year, what happens is these people have spent pretty much, you know, 12 entire days getting to know one another, building relationships. They build long-lasting lifetime relationships, but then
right.
they also gain a sense of where the need is in our community. Mm-hmm. And what's so cool is you see year over year, all of these people who've gone through the program, now that their eyes are open to some of the important issues that are impacting our community, you see these people who have graduated the program moving forward into taking on board roles mm-hmm. in areas mm-hmm. maybe that they were passionate about.
Right.
You know, they learned something through the program. They're like, gosh, that's a need and I can help with that. And so you see these people really become contributors to mm-hmm. some of, you know, these industries that have big issues that are impacting, and people become part of the solution.
Right.
So the leadership program, and again, I mean, it's been decades that program has been in effect, and I actually just went through the program last year. It was really
fun.
You did? Part of the program is every year the class is encouraged to create some type of look for a need in the community and do something about it. So one of our classmates was Lindsay Morgan, who works for a nonprofit called Fosterful, and they provide foster or services for kids that are going through, you know, some family trauma and moving into the foster care system. And so we did a huge fundraiser, and it was really fun. We actually created a leadership class reunion. So we sold tickets and had this really fun fundraising event that brought all these leadership class alumni together from backwards of 30 years.
Wow.
You know, one event to raise money for an amazing cause in the community. And so we raised nearly $12,000 for this organization that's for the most part underserved, you know, you know, where there's so many nonprofits and we're all part of our hat that we wear,
right?
You know, is fundraising and then making sure that we're using those funds for great causes. So that was a really special part of that program. So there's the leadership program that we put on, and it's just a phenomenal way for people to get relationships going and make an impact in the community.
Greetings, listeners of the Allie and Callie Artcast podcast. This is Jason from Tubbs Coffee Roasters. Keeping art alive and culture relevant is the heart and soul of our community of creatives. And as a local coffee roaster who loves a good origin story of a painter or a farmer or a musician, we proudly support the Allie and Callie's Artcast podcast's expansion and exploration through positive conversation. So grab a cup of coffee, preferably one from Tubbs Coffee Roasters, and tune in, humans. Your ears will thank you.
Add a little flair to your special events with Scraps Barbecue, a great catering choice for your next gathering. Specializing in golf tournaments, sporting events, weddings, and other family friend gatherings, their commercial kitchen can be on site, or you can choose to have a fully catered meal delivered right to you. Known for their authentic Santa Maria-style tri-tip and tequila lime fish tacos, they can customize the menu to meet your needs for groups of 20 to 2,500. Contact Kevin at kevin@scrapsbarbecue.com or check them out on Facebook.
That program sounds amazing. What's another program that you're really excited and proud of?
So this one, I will say, it just sometimes, well, it almost always makes me tear up because I'm just so honored to be a part of this community. And it's our scholarship program. So at the Chamber, we have different committees. So if you're a member, one of your benefits is if you're feeling passionate about something, then you can join that committee and be a part of really creating some great things and impact in our community. And one of those committees is our education committee. And I mentioned earlier before how important education is for just so many reasons. And when I say education, it's the system. It doesn't matter if it's early childhood education. It doesn't matter if it's homeschool. It doesn't matter if it's private school or public school or trade school or traditional college or university experience. All of us need workers. That is the future of our workforce. And these people are going to come from all of those different types of education. And so we need it to be a strong system across all of those mediums. So this committee that we have at the Chamber does just amazing things. It was my first year as the CEO. So back in 2021, I was sitting in my board meeting and I said, okay, it's time for the scholarship breakfast. And in the past, we've given out three or five $1,000 scholarships. And I said, but that just, I mean, we're growing and it doesn't seem like enough, especially with all of the information you hear about Idaho having low go on to college rates, low graduation rates, some of the lowest cost per student, you know, spend per student rates. There's so many statistics where we rank so low. And I think that we as the business community, because this is the future workforce, we have an opportunity to do more. And I'm seeing 26 heads nodding in agreement, right? And so I said, I think we should go bold. And I said, last year we gave out five 1,000 scholarships. So I think we should set a goal for 10 1,000 scholarships. And everyone's going, yeah, I think that's, I mean, gosh, that's pretty bold, but I think we can do it, right? And so they got excited about it. As I was leaving the meeting, I got a call from Tyrell Stevenson, who is the legislative director for the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. Now, the Coeur d'Alene Tribe is one of our visionary members here at the Chamber. And, you know, everyone knows that the tribe has been here from the beginning before any of our settlers came into the area. And so they have a vested interest in this beautiful community and preserving the quality of life. And they are just tremendous partners of ours. So big investors in this community and our chamber and education and all of those things. So Tyrell called, he was talking to one of the members, Chief Jay Allen, who's the chairman of the tribal council. And so he said, hey, you know, I got something exciting to share with you. And he said, Chief is interested in issuing a challenge to the business community.
Oh, fun.
I said, oh, really? Well, what's the challenge? You know? And he said, well, you know, he would like to issue a challenge for anybody who is willing to donate one $1,000 scholarship. The tribe will match it one-to-one.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, kind of a chills moment. So yeah. I got so excited by that. And the next meeting that I was going to, we also have this program called Executive Roundtable. And Executive Roundtable has about 40 participants, and they're C-level executives of across industries. It's kind of a closed-door conversation that happens once a month, and they get together, and I kind of call them, these are kind of my, I can't say wise men, because it's not just men, it's amazing women in that room too, but these are wise souls and incredible leaders in our business community. And so I was getting ready to head to that meeting. And so I was like, okay, guys, I have some really exciting news. I was talking about this scholarship program, and I said, you know, the tribe wants to match. And so at the minute I was done talking, I saw all these hands pop up in the room. And Ryan Nipp from Parkwood Business Properties was the first one. And I was like, Ryan, what's your question? And he said, sign us up.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And then there, another person, sign us up. And in literally in one meeting, I had six hands raised. So that is six $1,000 scholarships plus the tribe's match in one meeting.
Yeah.
That's we were over amazing. $10,000 in scholarships. And I mean, I get chills because in that moment,
gives me chills.
You know, I had been thinking, okay, God, how am I going to make this happen? You know, I feel like I'm always going and asking people for money. But, you know, my job is not to say yes. My job is to make the ask.
Yeah, you know,
and that was such an important learning for me in this role, in that I can present really cool opportunities to our business community. And I never want anyone to feel pressured if they have to say no, because I truly believe there's a season for everything. But if someone has the capacity and if someone feels passionate about this and wants to participate in this opportunity, I have an opportunity to ask that question. And so it was like one of those most amazing learning experiences in that one meeting alone. So immediately we're up to like 26. So that year we ended up securing 26 businesses, which meant $52,000 in scholarships. So we went from, and then the tribe matched that. So each kid got an extra $1,000. So we went from five $1,000 scholarships to 52 $2,000 scholarships.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, fast forward to last year. Last year, we ended up with 70 $3,000 scholarships.
Oh my.
Wow.
And so this year, here we are in 2024, and I'm already at 86 $1,000 scholarships. We have 115 applicants. So right now, I'm sitting here where there, we're at 29 students do not have a scholarship. And so I'm bound and determined to communicate in the next week to see if I can't find 15 more, because if I can get 15 more
than
the tribe, then everybody gets a scholarship.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's
you guys,
awesome.
It's so important, because one of the number one reasons these kids aren't going off to college is because their parents are afraid to have the conversation with them, because they can't afford to send them.
Right.
And
right.
if the business community can stand up and say, you matter, and you are a future worker in our business community, and we want to send you off and get you that education so that you have options.
Right.
And it's just one of those things that I literally get chills on my arms every time that I talk about it. But I'm so
amazing.
Proud of our scholarship committee, our education committee, and all of the members who've come forward and who are willing to do this. One of our members who is just equally as passionate about this, you all know Rick Rasmussen from Northwest Specialty Hospital. You know, he's probably the biggest and loudest champion for education in our community, and he is a tremendous sponsor. This year, he's doing five $1,000 sponsorships, and then he also agreed to pay for the breakfast of every single student that is coming. So that will be a minimum of another $2,000 investment through this program. So really my job, you know, talk about going back to creativity. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have the best job in the planet because I get to think about the how, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I get to present ideas, and I have an amazing board of directors who's just, they're creative themselves, and they are, we are all about growth mindset, mm-hmm. and how can we do more for our community? Mm-hmm. And so I just get the special job of, you know, coming up with an idea and brainstorming maybe some ideas how, and then I get to ask the question, and really our members are the ones who deserve all the credit because mm-hmm. they're the ones who are stepping up and financially supporting these kids. But this education program and our scholarships is something that I am so honored to be a part of.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and I
so
just
cool.
cannot see wait to see what happens this year.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll stay tuned on that score.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, the Chamber has other companies, or actually probably more like nonprofits that
yes.
you call affiliates, right here in the building
yes.
that you partner with. Who are they?
Sure. So we're actually calling them strategic partners now. And there's a funny reason for that. It had to do with the definition of affiliate.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to be creating an affiliate program, which we can talk about that later.
Uh-huh.
But our strategic partners are people who actually share this space with us here in this amazing, beautiful building that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those organizations are the Coeur d'Alene Downtown Association.
Mm-hmm.
We have North Idaho Centennial Trail Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We have Awesome Arts and Culture Alliance,
Yay!
Which you ladies are very, very familiar
right?
with.
Yes.
We have the Coeur d'Alene Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we have Innovia. And
right.
so, yeah, there are several nonprofit organizations that not only share our space, but they also share a mission of wanting to create awesome opportunities in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we call them strategic partners, what that really means to me is that we are aligned in mission,
right?
Yeah. In serving our community. And how that sort of differs from maybe a traditional relationship with our other members is that they have a vested interest in all the great programs that we're running, and we have a vested interest in theirs.
Right.
And so when it comes to cross promotions, we both, as part of our commitment to one another, as we promote each other's events and activities and sponsorship opportunities
mm-hmm.
across our membership bases or across our organization, just so that we can extend the reach, because there's so much goodness happening between each of these organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's been exciting that, you know, goes back to our topic about creativity, and that is I don't want to just have a strategic partner for the sake of a strategic partnership. I want us to close our eyes and think outside of the box and
right.
imagine what could we do that is more strategic than what we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are okay, I want to talk about our conversations, Allie, with the Arts and Culture Alliance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know that you are retired recently from
right.
our organization, which is so exciting. But some of the initial conversations that we talked about was, you know, I just have so many ideas. Like, for example, our beautiful chamber building. We recently, I forgot to mention one of the strategic partners that we, is a very important strategic partner of ours, and that's Ignite Coeur d'Alene.
Right. Yes.
And so Ignite, recently in the past year, we received an amazing $263,000 grant from the Ignite organization.
Mm. Oh,
and
wow.
that was for us to renovate this space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a long story short, but visitor centers today look very different than what they might have looked like 30 years ago.
Right.
Originally, when this building was built, there was this really cool idea of having somewhere between 40 and 50,000 visitors here every year. And the highest number of visitors that we've received per year has been, I think, recorded at 28,000. And that was back in, gosh, I want to say it was like 2008.
Yeah.
And
wow.
from then, every year it's kind of gone downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I started to ask myself, okay, coming from Microsoft, you know, you follow the data.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you ask yourself why. And
yeah.
then you're like, okay, well, you know, it was COVID, a lot of people said. And I'm like, well, yeah, that sort of makes sense, except for that was 10 years later.
Right.
Longer than 10 years later. Yeah, so right. No, it wasn't COVID, even though we did see a bigger drop during the COVID years. But when you started to look back at what was happening across the globe, back in 2008 was really the year that iPhones and apps on iPhones started to take off.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, talk about creativity and tech, right? Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden, people can plan their trips.
Look it up.
Right? Using apps on their phones.
Yeah.
So what visitors across the board, visitor centers saw was a decline in people using the space. So here we are in 2000, and this was, gosh, 2021 at the time, and we were down to about 9,000 visitors a year. And when you look out those windows, you see this is, there is no better property in the city of Coeur d'Alene, maybe minus the resort or, you know, the Hagedorn Corporation building. So this space needs to be, we need to rethink how this space is used, right? So you talk about, we have all these amazing strategic partners who rent space, and we all have office spaces in the back offices, but we have this beautiful visitor center, right? Mm-hmm. And so how can we reimagine that space so that more of our community can use it, since not as many visitors are using it? Mm-hmm. So part of that grant from Ignite and that remodel was to reimagine that space so that it could become a community space. Yeah. It could become an event space and a visitor center. So love to invite the community to come take a look at what this space looks like. There's spots for people to sit. You can sit on a nice tabletop. You can have a nice chair. You can plug in your computer and you can look out at the lake and you can watch the seaplanes take off and leave. You can sit there and work, and it's just free space for anybody to come and have a small meeting and, you know, hang out with your friends and catch up on email. And in our original conversations, going back to being more strategic about our collaborations, I'm like, you guys are the Arts and Culture Alliance. So we should be thinking about, how do we reimagine this space? How do we bring art here? Because art does, and arts and culture have such an incredible way of bringing community together.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So here we've got a beautiful space. What can we do to think about bringing arts in here that will bring more community here? And so fast forward, it's been, what, probably 6 months since we had that conversation.
Right.
And I am so thrilled.
Got
every
gallery.
Month now we have a gallery.
Yeah. Right.
We rotate in a different artist. So excited. And it's completely transforming that space and just bringing culture in and giving the opportunity. I know we're going to talk about the possibility of, you know, when there's Art Walk, maybe once a quarter, having a little gathering right here in the visitor center where the community comes. Another idea that we had talked about, which I am so excited to keep going, it's not necessarily with Arts and Culture Alliance, but it's with the Arts Commission, right? And so we have this north side of our building that doesn't have windows, and it's kind of this just blank canvas. And it's, to be honest, it's a little bit boring, right?
Yeah.
And I think about when I go visiting different cities and you see art and you see murals in different places around. And like one example is my niece, she plays volleyball for Fort Lewis College in Durango. So I've had the awesome honor of taking her to college a couple of summers in a row, and we drive through Moab, Utah. And when you're driving through Moab, Utah, there's this one spot on the right-hand side of the road, right down downtown, where it has this beautiful mural on the side of the building. And so every year we're like, oh, let's go get a picture in front of the Moab sign.
Right.
Right. So I'm thinking from a visitor's perspective, when people come to our community, how awesome would it be if our building had a beautiful mural on that north side of the building that was actually a tourist destination?
Right.
You know, what if every year when people come to Coeur d'Alene, that one of the stops, they want to get their picture and then they can post it on social media. Right.
Right.
And then I was thinking, when we were originally talking, what if we changed it every few years or every year?
You know,
what if we did an artist call and we had people submit, and then the Arts Commission or some amazing smart art people like you all got together and you formed a committee and you got to choose this art. And then how cool would it be if every spring, to kick off the summer season, we blocked off the parking lot, and we brought in some food truck vendors and some beautiful musicians, and we had a party, mm-hmm. and we unveiled the artwork of the year.
Oh, I love that idea.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Part of our mission at the our new mission for the chamber this past year through our strategic planning exercises, visionary leadership for our businesses and our community.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And that is our true north. I mean, that is what I think about every single day when I come here, is how can we become more visionary leaders in all capacities, and going back to our strategic partners. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in the few minutes, these are a couple things that I've talked about, the Ignite and how we partner with them. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Arts and Culture Alliance and some of the cool collaborations that we're doing to bring art into this beautiful building space, mm-hmm. right? But there's so much more that we can do.
And right.
I think that's the fun of this job, is being able to close your eyes and think outside of the box and create some sort of idea that brings tremendous value, not only to the organizations that are here, mm-hmm. but to the businesses and to the community at large.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why I get excited every day.
I love that.
For all your screen printing needs, trust the local you can count on. Pyramid Printing has been a Coeur d'Alene favorite for over 2 decades.
Specializing in screen printing, embroidery, signs, banners, and stickers, for all jobs, big and small, just give Eric a call.
Email us at info@pyramidprintingcda.com or give us a call at 208-664-0254.
PyramidPrintingCDA.com.
So what is your business model?
Thank you.
For the chamber. For a chamber organization, you know, our business model, we actually get revenue from multiple sources. Mm-hmm. You know, most chambers, you know, like ours is a little bit different because we own this building. And so part of our revenue is a different revenue stream comes from like lease, you know, from our tenants
sure.
who are sharing the space with us.
Right.
But that's not necessarily typical of a chamber. But our chamber model and our business, the revenue comes from multiple sources. The first and foremost is we're a membership organization.
Right.
So people can join our organization and they get different benefits that are associated. And that really depends on what member level that they choose.
Sure.
Right? So one other interesting thing about chamber organizations and overall nonprofits or trade associations is you've seen a massive decline in their membership over the years. And the reason for that is that there's more choice. Right? Mm-hmm. There's so you could find a trade organization or a membership organization for just about anything.
Right.
So there's a lot more choice for people to choose from. There's more competition.
Right.
But the other thing that's interesting is think about when these organizations started. It was long before the internet existed. It was long before there was anything called digital marketing or social media. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the world and how it's changed today, people can probably create a Facebook page and extend their reach and get more business through that than they could by joining a membership organization.
Right.
And so that's a huge reason why you see memberships declining, because they're actually extending their reach and getting businesses in new, more digital or more modern ways in the world ahead. So we saw this trend. It's the same thing that I've seen for our chamber model for over the last 10 years, looking at the data and going, you know, we have to change our benefits and what we're offering our members. We have to be relevant in the world today.
Sure.
So we've recently undergone a massive change. And so we've just unveiled our new member levels and benefits, which again, I'm so excited because we're growing again, which is awesome. But so one of our revenue sources is through member levels and benefits. And so, you know, we have at the highest level, visionary members is what they're called. And so we have 4 organizations that are at that visionary level. One is the Coeur d'Alene Casino Resort Hotel.
Yes.
And they've been just a tremendous business partner through the tribe over the years. So there's those guys. There's Kootenai Health, which again is our region's largest employer and amazing healthcare organization. Northwest Specialty Hospital, which I mentioned before with Rick Rasmussen. I think they have like 30 different organizations that fall underneath that Northwest Specialty Hospital ownership.
Right.
That's part of their visionary membership. And then the last organization is the Hagedorn Corporation.
Right.
Which you can imagine, they've got 3 amazing arms here in Coeur d'Alene. Their Marine Division, division, their resort and hospitality, and then their media group. Mm-hmm. So we have all of those organizations underneath the Hagedorn Corporation and their right. visionary level of membership. But that was all part of us trying to think creatively, right, mm-hmm. on how we drive more relevance for our members. So that's something that's brand new this year that we are working on, which has been a huge reason for the growth that we've seen and had.
Right.
So memberships is one stream of revenue. Another one is through sponsorships. So again, we have events, we've got programs, and we're a nonprofit organization. So if we're creating an event and there are costs associated with that event, it's not like my Microsoft years where I had a $10 million marketing budget
yeah,
right. that I can just go spend on an event or yeah. program, right? I have to go out into the community and I have to find sponsors. So this is part of the one of the benefits of being a member is that you have the access to participate in these advertising programs
right.
where your message, should you choose to sponsor, your message gets to be in front of a highly targeted business community. I don't know of another membership or business community organization in our region that has the breadth and the depth and the targeted list of business owners and business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge benefit for people to advertise very targeted through our channels and assets, whether that's our event sponsorships or advertising that we have on our website or all kinds of different advertising
yeah.
opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a second form of revenue. And then, of course, if you're participating in like the leadership program, there's a fee to join that program every
sure.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple streams of revenue,
yeah.
which is smart and good for any nonprofit to think about because,
right.
If something happens like a COVID and membership levels drop, you yeah. have revenue coming in other ways.
Right. right. Perfect.
So if somebody wants to join the chamber, who do they go to?
And how do they get involved?
Yes.
Well, there's multiple ways. First, I would say they should go to our website because there's lots of great information up there, and it's cdachamber.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, through a suggestion of one of our members, it was pretty awesome. We created an email address that's like a central email box that all of us have access to.
Oh.
And it's called Connect. At mm-hmm. cdachamber.com. And so that's really the email address that we use and we monitor on a daily basis. And then our team sort of triages whatever the requests are that come into the right person in our organization.
Oh, sure.
So if you're looking for email, just connect at cdachamber.com.
Perfect. Oh, cool.
Good to know.
Wow. Well, you have filled us with a ton of information.
Amazing.
And,
yeah.
This is a great example of how creativity isn't just in painting a painting.
Yeah.
It's creativity is all about problem solving and setting goals and collaboration and finding ways to make things happen.
And I think one big part about that, too, is that you can't be afraid to fail.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I think that's another skill that I brought from my Microsoft world is this whole concept of having a growth mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? Which means that you're continually looking, as long as any of us have a breath, we're not done, right?
Yeah.
We have this opportunity to continue to grow and to continue to develop, but we have to be open-minded to that
right.
learning. And we have to know that we're not going to get it right every time.
Right.
We're going to have a little stub our toe. We're going to have a failure here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you should quit. That's just part of the process.
Right.
Right.
You learn through those failures and it gets you better at what you're doing. And that's where the creativity comes in, is you can't be afraid to fail. And when you do, you got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Just figure out what you learned and keep trudging forward.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this has been great.
It has.
My gosh.
Yep.
Lynn, we're so lucky to have you.
We are lucky to have you.
Gosh, yep. I feel so blessed to have you guys too. This was really fun, and I feel honored that you reached out, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're an amazing woman.
That's right, and a great example for women in our community.
Absolutely. Right back at you, ladies.
Absolutely. So don't forget, if you're a business and you're looking to connect with other businesses and get more into the community, go to the cdachamber.com.
Yeah.
Or connect
at cdachamber.com.
Yes.
You got it.
Right.
And
perfect.
You'll probably connect with Linda.
That's right.
And her entourage.
And her great ideas.
Yes.
So I'm Allie.
And I'm Callie. And whatever you do today, be creative.
The Allie and Callie Artcast is sponsored in part by Tubbs Coffee Roasters, globally sourced, locally roasted coffee, and Scraps Barbecue, your locally owned catering company.